The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by James Millman to look ahead to the best of the action coming up on Thursday. We're going to look at three contests at Warwick. It's an afternoon dominated by jumps racing. Three jumps meetings in the afternoon. Kempton coming up on the evening, of course, for you flat fans. We'll start by saying hello, James Millman.
Good afternoon, Alex Dunn. How are you?
I'm not bad, thanks. How are you?
Could be better.
No, really? But could you sit opposite me?
Well, that is a disappointment, isn't it? But no, not too bad. But like I say, three jump meetings tomorrow, and it's just starting to get going now, the jump season. Unfortunately, for the field sizes, we need some rain, really. The ground's very, very quick for jumpers to be running at the start of the season, and you don't really want to be risking a jumper on too quick a ground when we've still got the next 6 months ahead of us.
So yeah.
With three meetings on and a very small pool of runners that want quick ground that have been running through the summer, it does mean the field sizes have just cut up a little bit. But I'll say the big trainers are starting to run a few now, and we've got some interesting races to look forward to.
We have indeed. One race that we're very much looking forward to comes up on Sunday. It's the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe from Longchamp. Got a show of betting here. Tegruder 9-2, Ectot 6-1 with Harp Star. 7s for Avenir Certain and Just Away. 8s for Gold Ship. 10s for Trev and 16s or bigger the rest. Front page of the Racing Post today says three top jockeys but two rides left. That is alluding to Ryan Moore, Frankie Dettori and Joseph O'Brien. Looks likely that one of those will miss out. You wouldn't think it would be Joseph O'Brien. All of a sudden, it could be Ryan Moore, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Australia's not even been confirmed for the later stages for the ARC, so he's definitely not going. And you'd imagine Frankie seems quite positive he's going to be riding Roar of the World. Chiquita, obviously very expensive purchase last winter, more broodmare prospect. But I thought she shaped okay on her return in Ireland the other day, so I would imagine Joseph would ride that one. And it would be strange to have a jockey like Ryan Moore on the sidelines, but maybe just the way it's going to pan out. We've not that many real British challengers this year, and like I say, it's a shame because I think he is the best jockey in the world. But you have your own stable jockeys and stuff, and sometimes that happens.
In terms of, I mean, I've just given you a show there. Anything that's sort of leaping out at you as value? Because you are getting decent value at this stage, at least.
Probably Ectot. I was impressed with the way he went about in his trial. He probably just quickened up a little bit too soon and just got a bit tired in the closing stages. His first run for a fair while. Stamina's, for me, still a little bit of a question mark. I think he's got a lot of class, and he's a very, very nice type. And he's probably got the least question marks against him and a lot of his rivals. Cricket Head's given a very positive report about Trev in recent days. She's been working well. And there are showers forecast on Sunday, so we need a clear weather forecast, and we won't even know until today. But if there's a few showers about and the ground isn't too quick, I certainly wouldn't rule out Trev, because I think Cricket Head's a master trainer, and she may well be able to get it back. She didn't seem bitterly disappointed by a defeat in the Vermeil, and I'll say it's an interesting art. There's nothing that stands out. The Japanese horse is interesting. Is he going to stay the mile and a half? There's just so many question marks about the field. It's not one where you're cutting down to one or two. You could see a whole host of horses winning.
The racing community as well does have a tendency to just rule horses out off the back of one or two bad runs.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think Trev, although to be honest, I don't think she'll win. I think at 10-1, if you'd have said that a couple of months ago, You'd have snapped your hand off.
I think she's each way value, and you have to remember it was a trials day when she ran at Longchamp, and Cricket Head would have been mindful of the problems she's had, and using it as a trial. Terry Johnny was really not hard on her at all, and I think that's why she wanted possibly him to ride her in a trial, because she kind of knew that she wasn't in the shape to win the trial, perhaps. But it would bring her on more, having a nice race rather than Frankie under pressure to get a win out of Trev. Could have been harder on her, but it's interesting. We've got a great weekend of racing ahead of us, and definitely something to look forward to.
Okay, well, now we're going to look forward to the three contests at Warwick on Thursday afternoon. Starting with the 240, it is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles, a Class 3 event. We've got five runners down to go to post. And Alan King comes here with two of the five runners. Laser Blazer, who is looking for a hat-trick, turned out pretty quickly again following his success at Newton Abbott the other day. Uriah Heep has been chasing, but was also speedy enough to compete at a pretty high level on the flat, so couldn't be ruled out. And then the other one that you'd imagine is going to have a chance is Mohican there for John Ferguson and AP McCoy. When they've been teaming up recently, they've been doing very, very well indeed. And this one has course and distance form, but maybe isn't the most solid of prospects.
Definitely not. A very interesting race because, like I said, we've only got five runners purely because of the ground. It's a shame because Warwick put on some good prize money. It's a 10 grand added contest. But Alan King, interesting if both horses run, because Laser Blazer was very impressive when winning at Newton Abbott on Monday. Won by 14 lengths from Songlight and won ease down. Did it very, very nicely. Off mark at 117. You'd have to say under a £7 penalty. Very well treated. But stable jockey Wayne Hutchinson's back from injury. I think it's his first ride back on Uriah Heep. And you would imagine you would have had the choice of the two, bearing in mind Richard Johnson's ridden both of those horses through the summer. And when he won at Stratford, Uriah Heep, back in July, he won two races there. I was pretty impressed with the way he won when he beat Broughton's Warrior. Struggled in the big listed handicap hurdle at Market Raisin, but back to form and second and novice at Fontwell. Has to bounce back from a poor run at Worcester last time, but I do think he's got ability, probably not the most consistent. But I just think it could be key that Wayne Hutchinson's electing to ride him, we assume. Mm. And because Laser Blazer won so well the other day, it could be a little bit of value. Mohican, obviously very interesting there for John Ferguson and Tony McCoy teaming up. Another one of these typical, useful Godolphin horses that have been, actually Mark Johnson training for a while, but it's been transferred to John Ferguson. Made a winning debut over course and distance on good soft ground, in an average enough juvenile hurdle, beaten Mandy's Boy. Very disappointed behind the Quinn horse Pearl Castle on handicap debut at Doncaster in February. Perhaps he had a long season racing on the flat and going straight through to hurdle campaigns. So he's had 10 months off, so hopefully he can come back in some kind of form. But a mark of 119, good on flat form, harsh on hurdle form. It depends how you want to take it, and there's a few too many question marks about him for me. Surf and turf's pretty consistent, but handicapper looks got hold of him. He's been second or third in his last five outings, so only five runners. An interesting race, but I'm going to stick with Uriah Heep in the hope that Wayne Hutchinson can get a win in return.
Okay, Uriah Heep then in Warwick's 240. Next up is the 310, and it's a handicap chase over the extended 2.5 mile trip, a Class 4 event with five runners going to post. Not the strongest contest this, James. In the gate, likely to go off somewhere near favourite, which is incredible when you think this horse hasn't even finished his race in the last four. Faller last time out, I think at the last or second last, when looked set for second anyway. But then again, this race might not take much winning.
No, this race isn't going to take much winning, and the Chai Longson team are in absolutely cracking form. It seems to be a trend with Charlie Longs, and every season he comes back and has a lot of winners in the first few months of the season. He's certainly repeated that again in the last 2 weeks. He's only had nine runners. There's been six winners, two seconds, and one unplaced. And that was in a bumper having its first run, so you probably figure that. This one made chase debut at Stratford in a four-runner event. Was only sent off at 5-1, wasn't strongly fancied. Unfortunately, going very, very well when he hit the deck two out, and it's hard to say for sure what he would have done, but the way the horses were running and the way he was travelling, it looked like he'd definitely be a strong challenger. I think he's got a fair enough mark, to be fair, of 103 to be going into a handicap. That was obviously a novice chase, a beginner's chase, sorry, that he ran in last time out. The horse that he was upsized, Mackie's Ford, was rated 119, and One Lucky Lady was a 130 hurdler. So you've got to say it. I think the handicap he's been very lenient on a mark of 103, and racing post ratings give him £11 clear. He's going to be very, very short, but he's going to be very, very hard to beat.
Provided he stays up.
Yeah, but I think Chai Longson would have done some intensive schooling in the last, what's that, he said 4 weeks since he ran. Only concern is he did unseat even over hurdles, so jumping is a little bit of frailty, but off a mark of 103, if he gets round, you're going to have to imagine he's going to win. Crescent Beach, probably the next eye-catching one. Henry Oliver's done a good job switching from riding to training. This one's, he wins, he's pretty solid over fences. His last run at the back end was second at Leicester off a £1 lower mark, and he's only £2 higher than his last win, so I could give him a little bit of a squeak. But for me, in the gate, if he stands up, he wins.
Okay, in the gate then, in the 3.10 at Warwick. And the final race is the 3.45 from the same track. To handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, a class 4 event with 7 runners down to go to post. It looks like the two that arrive here in the best form with the win last time out are going to be pretty popular here. Bathwick Man for the Pipe Team and Finding Your Feet for John Joe O'Neill and AP McCoy.
Yeah, Finding Your Feet, a typical John Joe O'Neill horse, had a bit of a poor spell and back to form when winning last time out, and the handicap had given a little bit of leniency, dropped him £6 in 3 runs, and a much better effort when winning at Fontwell. Handicap has stuck him back up 8, so he's now in a career high of 113. Which could be a little bit of a concern. He did win very, very easily, McCoy. Didn't even have to get hard on him to win by 5 lengths beating Solex at Fontwell in August. Whether he's a horse that would find much under the McCoy drive, I'm not too sure, because he's been beaten favourite on quite a few occasions, so it's not like he's always been an outsider. He has disappointed. So I'm not too sure how much I'd actually trust him. The visor seems to be helping. It's the second time he wore it when winning last time out. But attitude a little bit suspect for me. Bathwick Man, he's a very consistent horse for the Pipes, always generally there or thereabouts in the summer months. Good efforts when second at Newton Abbott and Market Raisins, very deserved his recent success at Newton Abbott when winning by 3.5 lengths to Mr. Bricolage. But that takes him to a mark of 115, and he's never actually won off that high of a hurdle, despite the fact he's won 8 races. That could be a struggle. He did win once, sorry, back in 2009, that's 5 years ago, and whether he's quite in that class now as a 9-year-old is debatable. But Kieran Edgar takes off £5, so I think that will definitely help taking him down to 11.77. But the one I'm going to go for is Mulligan's Man. Wilkins, he trains this one, and he's been slightly disappointing for Donald McCain, but I do think this trainer is pretty useful, Bill Kinsey. And I think on his first run for him, having dropped in the handicap a fair bit for some disappointing efforts and some sellers, he could be interesting off a mark of 105, getting plenty of weight from those two market leaders. And like I say, he's had 2 months off the track, freshened up by a stable switch, by a bit of a break. I think Mulligan's Man could be interesting at a bit of a price.
Okay, Mulligan's Man then in the 3.45. Good stuff, James. Can you just spin us through your three picks at Warwick on Thursday afternoon, please?
Yeah, in the 3 races, in the 2.40, I'm hoping that Wayne Hutchinson's chosen the right Alan King horse, and he might get a bit of value in Uriah Heep. Laser Blazer won very well the other day, but I just think Wayne Hutchinson might have had a choice, and I was impressed with Uriah Heep in the summer. And in the 3.10, I've tipped for In the Gate. Chai Longson's runner probably would have made a winning chase debut when coming down at the second last. Yard's in very, very good form, 6 from 9 in the last couple of weeks. I think a mark of 1 in 3 is lenient, and as long as his jumping holds up, he can make amends. And in the finale, I've gone for Mulligan's Man, and taking a bit of a chance, first run since leaving Donna McCain's stable, but I think he could be value in a tricky day's racing at Warwick.
Okay, great stuff, James. Best of luck with those picks, and we'll catch up soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.